Hey everybody, in this episode of Box Office Breakdown, we're going to be breaking down how the coolest superhero took the top of the box office. It's all about Captain Underpants! Alright, I guess maybe we'll talk about Wonder Woman too.
Alright, next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown!
Hey everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown, as always. This is the show where we like to look back at the box office that was, and then we like to
prognosticate.
Yay!
Love it! About the box office that I had. Nobody's happier that Neil has done that than Carrie Lane, my co-host right there.
I think it was a good choice. It's a good creative way to add it. We were talking about, we still need people to call in and record it. Like Jack FM
yes,
has
that's
it,
right.
You know?
There you go.
Would you guys want to do that? Call in and leave a, I don't think we can do voicemail, can we?
I don't know. Neil, can we do voicemail?
I don't think we have
cool. Voicemail. That's perfect.
So.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think we need to call in.
Oh, we need it live and record it.
Yes.
Yes.
We'd have to open up the call up phone lines 1 week and then have people just say, before you hang up, say prognosticate.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What's up, everybody? My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And a quick shout out to Paper Ronnie. This is cool. It's very cozy scarf. It's a little chilly in the studio today, so, you know. Thought I'd look stylish and comfy.
No, I mean, that's cool. I mean, I'm in the studio, too. You know, I mean, that's cool. I guess I'll just be freezing.
You got a hoodie.
You know, it's not paper running, though. Okay.
No.
Frank, you have a zip-up jacket.
Right.
Fine, Neil and Carrie. Fine. Mm. You know, and I forgot to plug my social media, but you know what?
Yeah,
if you don't know by now, then you probably have no interest in following me. But if this happens to be your first time, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. But the whole reason that you can see us so well and hear us even better is because of the man that's making sure that that's possible, Neil Plumley, everybody.
What's up, guys?
Yeah.
You guys can find me everywhere at The Neil Plumley, TheNeilPlumley. Go for it.
And of course, folks, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and while you're there, double thumb it. If you can, why not? I mean, one thumb's great, but, you know, why not do two? You're right there. And as always, folks, hop in the chat. As Carrie's mentioned, the chat is up and running. So we'd love to hear your thoughts about movies in general or anything from this previous weekend's box office in particular.
Or movies, movies in general, trailers. We do all that stuff.
We do it all. We do it all. So we'll be talking about a lot of, this is an action-packed stuff. Yeah, you know, I'll just say, I think I saw more than 5 movies this weekend. So. We're going to be just jumping all up into it. Yes.
I am impressed.
Not all of them are great. I'll just say that.
Okay.
some are.
Okay.
I'm excited
to hear about this.
Some are entertaining. Yeah. Some are just like, okay, that happened. Mm-hmm. But of course, let's just start off and talk about DC.
Oh, wait, did you look up the new numbers?
It was the same thing that I had this morning.
Oh, it is? Okay.
So, unfortunately.
I still feel that's going to be different, though.
Yeah.
We'll find out tomorrow.
That's true.
Yeah.
Number one here in the box office as we look back at our top 5. Of course, DC Comics swung big and hit a home run.
Hit over 100.
Yes.
That's what I was hoping. I'm like, please just get over 100. Get over 100. Get over 100. Yes!
They did it.
Right? Wonder Woman. Oh.
There you go.
So happy.
Now, I know our buddy Alvin in the chat, I believe he was not predicting over 100 for that. I think he was lower. There was
we had a couple people that were a little lower.
Like in the 80s and
90s. Yeah.
Myself, I predicted 83, and I'm so happy I was wrong.
Well, you said that. You made a good point of like, you're like, I don't want to predict this. I want it higher. So, yeah, I was just sitting there. I'm like, please just get over 100.
It's very surprising because, like we were talking about last weekend, for a few weeks now, not a lot of people are going to the movies recently. Numbers have been down all year. For just general blockbusters that should be blown out of the water.
Yes.
I was very surprised this went over 100 million. It's a great success for Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot and the whole team.
Yes.
So far as right now, Box Office Mojo has it at $100,505,000.
Yes. We have a couple people thinking it was close to it. They were thinking about 95, which, I mean, that's a conservative high number, I would say, because it's hard and really predict lately because some of them we've gone way high, which we'll get to that too.
And you saw the movie, yes, Carrie?
I did. I saw it this afternoon.
Oh, nice. I know Neil has seen it. So
did you see it?
I did see it.
Okay.
But Carrie Lane, please, your thoughts first.
I thought it was awesome. My friend Lisa's in the chat, and I like how she put it. And we talked about it was a gratuitously epic.
Okay.
And I'm like, yes, but I like everything I found very entertaining. I thought the action sequences were cool. I heard somebody, they were kind of like, I don't know about the slow-mo kind of it. I'm like, no, I loved it. It felt very comic book to me. So I was like, totally fine. And it just was so, it made it feel like epic. And so it was great to see the movement of like these amazingly fit women who a couple articles going around online are actually professional athletes that they got for the other Amazons. So not the like the speaking role actors, but like the actually some of them might be too, but like more the rest of them are all like professional kind of athletes of different types, which I was like, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of joking today. They're like, well, don't need too much training for them because they're already like totally tip top shape. So that was cool. I thought the thing I liked about it, which I guess we'll go into it without this, no worries, no spoilers, guys. We don't do that here. But something I really liked is how it was a movie where the woman is the hero, yet men are not totally disregarded. You know, like they are still an essential part of the team, which is great because you can't have a movie where it totally flips it and like, you know, only girls and like guys can't do anything kind of idea. I'm like, no, I hate that too because it's just like, well, that you can't just. You can't take any group and just ignore the other one. So I really liked how, I mean, how many other movies is it like the guy who's a great superhero, awesome character, and has like a girl sidekick? So this is the reverse. It's like great female character. Her guy was her sidekick, but useful. It wasn't just like a bumbling idiot or something like that. It was a very useful character. There's some other people that kind of joined the team as well, which they were all great too. So it was nice that it wasn't just like, you know, women rule, guys suck. It's like, no, it's not that at all. And had a lot of heart to it, and interesting how they weaved like mythology and gave you backstory. Because I mean, I knew a little bit about Wonder Woman, but not a whole ton. I watched a lot of the cartoons or how she's been in cartoons, Justice League, and just all the different appearances of that. I didn't really watch the show as a kid. It would be on reruns, but still. So I thought this was great informing people about who, her character and everything. Even the backstory, how they explain like her growing up is adorable. And it just is so like, the whole time I'm just like, she looks so cool. Like so many parts of like, she, like there's a fight. I think it's when they get to like this village and she like, it's in the trailer where she jumps through the window. And it's just like, fine. Yeah. The whole time I'm just sitting there like, oh, she is so cool. This is so cool. And it's just great to have that. And that all, and especially all for anybody, like young boys and young girls, like not just for girls to see that role model, but guys to see that too, that like, look, this, a woman could be as cool of a character as a male superhero. It's not necessarily one's better or the other. It's just like, look, this is great too. So
nice.
Yeah, I think that kind of sounds. But otherwise, yes, I really enjoyed it. It's really hard for me lately though to be like, oh my gosh, about a movie. I've been that way about some TV shows lately. Movies, I'm like, I really liked it, and I would highly recommend it. But I also don't like when people overhype stuff. So I'm like, go see it soon, so it doesn't get too overhyped for you guys. But
Neil, how about yourself?
I agree a lot of what with Carrie said there.
Cheers.
I really liked how
because you agreed with me, I will salute you.
I liked how what was I going to say? I liked how a lot of the fight sequences were shot. There were just the action with her like whipping that the lasso of truth around.
Yes.
And using it like tactically against enemies. I haven't even seen that in like any of the animated movies. You only see that like in comic book panels. And I just really love that they did that with it, because that's so like a, that almost seems like a gimmick sometimes. I was really impressed that they like made it like a tactical element in her fighting. Other than that, I mean, the fight choreography is amazing. The stunt action was phenomenal. We actually have an interview on Popcorn Talk with the stunt actor for Wonder Woman that you guys should check out if you haven't seen it yet. She's incredible. But yeah, just watching the movie with just all that just awesome stunt work in it was just great. And like Carrie said, with little like young women seeing this movie, and I saw it next to my fiance in the theater. And this is like her favorite superhero of all time. And she just felt so empowered and just happy to see this character play out on the screen. And I just felt so happy for her. And also, like Carrie said, for young boys to see this. And because there's I mean, with our culture, there's this big, the gender roles sort of play out where boys have to be, you know, stronger than women. And it's good to see that, it's good to show boys that it's okay if you're not. You're still super useful. And just like the boys in this movie, they were incredible. They were just like the most amazing soldiers I've seen in probably like a superhero movie. And it was just so cool to see that. Now, the movie itself does have its flaws. I thought maybe they used slow-mo action a little bit too many times. But, I mean, that just comes down to preferential taste. I think overall the movie is so much fun to watch, and it's really cool to see a heroine in this light and with this much power behind her. It's so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Nice. There you go. All
right. So, Frank?
I thought it was a good movie, but not a great movie.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. I mean, for what it was, but I had some. Certainly, the performance for Gal, Chris Pine, all that stuff is great. I think just structurally and story wise, I just had some issues, especially with the third part too. The final confrontation with the big bad in this film, I thought was not so good.
Fair enough. I mean, it was definitely up till that point. Yeah, it was very solid. It didn't bother me, but I can understand what you mean. The other thing of, like, just interactions between Gal, we're all personal, we're talking about them by their first names.
Yeah, there you go.
Gal Gadot and Chris Pine, like, their interaction was great. It's mm-hmm. funny. They have good chemistry together. And the other thing that was great, too, is her learning about our world was cool without being too, okay, somebody learning something new and being dumb. You know how, like, in movies, when it's somebody learning something new about, like, a culture, a place, people, they just kind of, it gets redundant or stupid. Like, I like that she was more of an observer at times. Like, I'm not going to say, like, hey, this is strange. I'm just going to watch, observe, and kind of assess the situation first. And then there are times where she, like, jumps in and, like, speaks her mind about it, which is great, too. But it wasn't stupid to, like, keep it repeated.
And let's give it up for Robin Wright. She was awesome in the film.
I thought this was really fun. My friend, though, when we saw it, she kind of felt she was a little thrown off by the kind of accent that she does a little bit. But otherwise, you know, once you got into it, it was fine because her performance was so great. Oh, yeah. No, all of them are fantastic. Oh, that's the other thing, too. I love that they show Diana, so Wonder Woman's mother and aunt, essentially, as older women who are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Not many movies show older women as, like, these beautiful, strong characters. They're generally, like, a mom. And, like, you know, and I say that in the way of, like, they're not sexual or strong or not, like, desirable. And not that they're put in this way that they're desirable, but you know what I mean? Like, they're not just, like, you know, tucked to the side. It's like, oh, they're stunning, which is great.
Yeah. Now, it was, I'm excited. I mean, Patty Jenkins has signed up for the second one, so I'm curious to see where they go for a mm-hmm. sequel for this film. Mm-hmm. But it was cool to see World War I and that kind of type of explored that we haven't seen in a comic book film.
I think it's, I want to say it's like Yaya says, so many adorable scenes with her and Steve. Yes, her and Chris Pine, absolutely. They were just so good. It's funny with a good blend of, like, new person and, like, oh, you're kind of attractive and, like, you're interesting. There's, like, the after healing from his injury scene, that was very mm-hmm. funny. We'll say that.
And even their depiction of how the magic lasso works on an individual.
Yes, that was great, too.
Just kind of breaking down the effects that it has on a person.
Yeah, not just, like, oh, just makes you say stuff. They, like, go, no, this is, like, the things that happen to you. So, yeah, definitely, like, oh, that's another thing I thought of, too, that I enjoyed watching. I like that her wrist, what would you call those?
Or bracelets?
Yeah.
I mean, they're bigger
not really
than
bracelets.
Yeah.
I like that it was the full arm, like the elbow to wrist, because that felt far more battle practical.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool instead of just around your wrist.
Yeah.
So that was like, yes, that's a warrior's outfit, though. I mean, like, the rest of the outfit's a little small, but that's okay. So those were cool.
Yeah, and I know that there is, before this film started shooting, Chris Pine was like, oh, maybe he'll do Green Lantern. There's rumors that he might do that, but he decided to forgo that and do Steve Trevor. And, man, a great choice. I thought he was fantastic. That was a really good
Gauntlets. I thought gauntlets were more like your hand and not necessarily the whole arm.
Yeah, you can think like the Infinity
Gauntlet. Was, like a bracelet arm thing. I don't know. I'm glad you mentioned that. I've had a couple of people online with their friends who were saying how they felt his performance in this. They're like, well, that's one of his favorite things he's done.
Yeah, for sure.
Because his character got to have different levels. Because, like, in Star Trek, you could argue maybe he's a little two-dimensional. Like, he's too perfect and the best at everything kind of idea kind of guy. But in this, it's like he has vulnerability. He has, you know, humanity. And he's not just, like... He has to learn that, you know, maybe he can't do everything.
Yeah, I mean, I've had to compare that. I like this better than, as much as I love Captain Kirk.
Which I do, yeah, I do love him and Star Trek.
Yeah. But I can agree with what you're saying there, because especially in the first two films, I felt like he was hitting a lot of the same notes. Mm-hmm. And that's not his fault. It's just the way the story just kind of always kind of made him reboot constantly.
Yep.
And this was just cool to see him do something else.
Yes.
So, yes, that was our hot take on Wonder Woman. Many more are out there as well.
Someone had a good quote. I'm not gonna say it because that spoils it, but CA 1987, that was very entertaining. It's a good quote from the movie. it was a funny way. You know, the other thing too about it is the movie, besides the violence, which is mix of being not too much, it's actually almost kind of family friendly. I mean, not little kids, but like, and I'm horrible with Georgie, and I've been like, yeah, I had a baby in my movie, though. Do not take babies. Luckily, didn't cry, but, you know, like, middle school kids, I'd be like, sure. Because, I mean, they have, like, you don't even see too much of that violence anyways, too. Like, no, some of it, they cut away.
Yeah, there's no bloodshed, really.
Not really. There's not tons of swearing, and any of the, like, adult sexy stuff, either they don't show it, or it's humor that maybe kids wouldn't quite... yet.
Yeah.
So, meh. I like East Blue Drew said the music is going on in my house. Oh, yeah, I did like the music. And then the music that was in the trailer. And then when that played, I was like, oh, that's so fun. And
yeah, how they used her theme in some of the fights. I was like, that was so well done.
It's just a really entertaining movie. Like, definitely go with that. Like, fine, sure, it has its faults, but it'll be entertaining. Sure, let's go with that.
Here we go. And then we've got Aquaman.
Yeah, no
two.
Spoilers. Don't worry, guys. We won't give spoilers. Julia in the chat's like, no spoilers. Oh, yeah, no. We didn't.
Nothing given away. So hopefully you're not writing that now. You've been listening to everything you're saying. Realize we did not spoil anything.
No, we did not spoil anything.
No, yeah. No. But at the end, totally, guys, you should see. No, just kidding.
Oh, yeah. East Blue Drew says there's a lot worse stuff on TV. Yes, I wouldn't call it worse, but it's more adult stuff on television. So I felt this movie was rather... It's PG-13, though, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, but I would... Nothing really... No. But I'd be like, come on, kids, let's go.
Coming in number two this week, Captain Underpants, the first epic movie. I have a feeling I know for sure I'm the only one of the three of us that did see that film.
And, probably.
I did go check that out there on Wednesday night.
And?
Better than I thought. Having never read any of the Captain Underpants stuff
ask.
Like that.
Okay, cool.
I went in cold to the Captain Underpants. But some of the storytelling devices and the way they used that, I thought it was an entertaining movie. It
cool.
wasn't anything I was like, oh my gosh. But no, it was fun.
You went in with cold underpants?
I did. I should have warmed up those underpants, tossed them in the microwave real quick, and I did not.
Tanya, back to Wonder Woman age stuff. Tanya says at the theater I was at, there was 4 and 5 year olds at Wonder Woman. I'm like, referring to the chat. Yeah, no spoilers in the chat, guys. Like, when we talk about movies, same rule goes, because we don't want to spoil stuff for people. And yeah, don't bring small children to adult, like, anything over rated G kind of stuff, because, it's one of those, like, no, a baby crying just ruins everything. Alvin, I like that Captain Underpants was charming.
Yeah, I saw that. Saw it as well. There we go, Alvin. We would agree on that one. Yes.
And you took your little one, right?
I did. And she enjoyed it.
Nice.
So there you go. She was,
She's going to be like, read me the books now?
She would like to read them. I should go pick them up.
Yeah.
So I'd be curious to see. I mean, it certainly sets it up for future films. So
okay. Yeah.
Hopefully that there are many more stories. I think there's at least 8 books, if not more, that he's told so far. So okay. There's definitely room for more stories.
They're very
to be
successful,
told.
Right?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's that gentleman who created that is doing quite well. And it definitely, if you you know, it fun narrative stuff. But then also, if you want to just talk about poo-poo humor or
someone just said that made them laugh. Yep. Yeah.
Then this is the movie for you. A lot of different plays on that.
But we were both extremely off on those numbers.
Yes. You know, in fact, please remind me, Carrie, what our numbers
were. We both lost. 45.
Oh, yes, we did go high, didn't we? Yes. Oh, and Neil...
And we got called out on Twitter. Thank you for all, like, him. And then I, someone's been pointing out to me more than once, I have a losing streak, essentially, of, like, this stuff I got to get around to.
Yes, so Carrie and I lost the bet, but I knew I was seeing it.
Oh, so, sorry, Captain Underpants, did we say how much it actually made?
It made $23.5 million. So, look at that. You know, I mean, compared
to... That's
pretty
good.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, and going up against Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like if any movie was really going to blow out the box office, it was going to be Wonder Woman. So, I mean, we'll take that as a nice, respectable second place for that. Mm-hmm. Number three, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. I did happen to check this out as well.
At 21.6.
Yeah, 6.1 million there for that. You know, it was... You know, Jeffrey Rush, he brings the definite heart for the film.
Okay.
So, you know, Johnny Depp is just Johnny Depp. Jeffrey Rush, this is definitely his movie in terms of story arc and emotional moments and character beats for his.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, visually it's fine. I mean, I like it better than 4.
Okay.
But that one wasn't very good at all.
No, I think we can all, I don't know anybody that ever really says 4 is my favorite Pirates of the Caribbean film. I'll fight anybody that says otherwise.
I was doing just cleaning stuff at home, and I put number one on. I'm like, oh, this movie is so good.
It's so good, right?
Oh, the first one is just so much like great job of capturing a ride and making it a movie, because you just watch it and you're just like, this is cool, and like pirates, and the dialogue is so witty and like, you know, smart and sharp. That's great.
It's a timeless classic.
Yeah.
Like the moment it came out, it was.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Disney knows this is one of their big franchises. So I would have applauded Disney more if they would have just had this as a definitive end. Because certainly if you watch this film, Dead Men Tell No Tales, if they would have just stopped it where it was,
mm-hmm.
it's a nice definitive end for every film in the series.
Okay.
And then they do a post-credits sequence. So stick around for after the credits. There's a little post thing. And it definitely sets up that it's like, you know what? But, the story might not be over yet. And you're like, I would have just respected it if you would have just said, like, there we go. And we'll ride off into the sunset.
I do want to add, Wonder Woman does not have any post-credit anything.
No.
Just in case anybody's wondering. I was curious.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe? Nope. Not, like, expecting it, but I was like,
Yeah, I'm glad.
I'm totally fine.
Because why sit there for 5 to 6, maybe even 7 minutes through those credits when you can just, like, that's time spent.
It's when you're sitting there and you're checking your phone or your updates as you turn it back on.
But that's exactly. As soon as
the movie's over, yeah.
I went up there and the first thing I Googled was, does it have a post-credit sequence?
Oh.
Because I wanted to see, should I be sticking around for after this? And they said, nope, don't have to worry about that. I said,
you're
I'm
like,
gone.
Yeah.
I'm out. Thank you very much.
Mm.
But I did stick around for Pirates and I just wanted to double check. I was like, yep, there is a post-credit sequence.
Okay, good
so
to know.
I stuck around.
Mm-hmm.
But sadly, it does tease. Whether box office, I think internationally it's been doing fantastic. So I feel like we're probably going to get at least one more film.
Mm.
I feel like, you know, be smart, Disney. Just make this the ending of it.
Mm.
But we'll see if they do. Number four, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, another $9.73 million.
And if you want to go ride the ride at California Adventure, a friend went the other day and it was only a 3-hour wait instead of 5.
That's it. Oh,
yeah, you know.
All right.
And that was like
3 hours. That's nothing. You could read a book in that time.
Right. and that was like before the park opened, they were getting in line to go to get their stuff to go. Yeah.
Boy.
I was like, you know.
Which
I don't
is
want to wait three. I'll wait a while. I'll be like, nah, I'll go later.
No. I don't want to feel like I have to, as Neil suggested, bring a book. Like in the morning as I'm like pre-gaming my day, like, I better bring a book. I better bring a good one because I'll be in line for a long time.
Who are you guys standing in line with that you want a book that you're not hanging out and chatting with the people you're in line with?
Don't want to talk to you. I've got a book.
And no.
That's right. Because that's people that you worry that you don't have 3 hours worth of conversation for. And you're like, I don't want to ruin
all
of
it. Apparently you guys haven't gone to Disneyland with me. I'll keep you chatting. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. All right. There you go. Rounding out our top five was Baywatch, the Dwayne Johnson film there. Another $8.5 million. I saw this as well. And, I wanted to like it. I really wanted to. But it is, and I know many other people compared it to, like 21 Jump Street.
Okay.
And we talked about that too, yep, as well too. And it is a very lame attempt in that kind of direction. It just is not, it's not funny enough and biting enough like 21 Jump Street was. And so it's just, you know, it's just, you know, they certainly, the action sequences can be a little bit more spectacular when you've got a film budget behind
yeah.
you.
Yeah. The comedy was
the comedy left me wanting more. It wasn't okay. It wasn't as like outrageous or over the top as I thought it was going to be.
Performances were.
I mean, you know, Dwayne Johnson okay. and you know, Zac Efron. There is a sequence where he does kind of a take on American Ninja Warrior, like that, in terms of that kind of course yeah. to kind of qualify to be a lifeguard. And good Lord, geez, just that those abs on him are just phenomenal. Phenomenal, yeah. But you're just waiting for him just to shred and just be a walking ball of muscle. I was waiting for that moment. You just know where everything's heading.
Got it.
And I just wanted it to be funnier. It was okay. disappointing.
Okay.
And you know, just real quick, and you feel free, as Carrie likes to say, comment then on this in the chat or in the down below. As Carrie is so delightfully
if you watch this after. Yes. This is aired.
Yes. Your thoughts on when it goes to credits in a film and the credits kind of move over to the left or right and then they pull up outtakes.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy watching outtakes from a film?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
There you go.
I do. Yeah. I'm actually, one I remember seeing is like in Rush Hour, they had that, and that was kind of fun, of like Jackie Chan doing his and like stunts going wrong too, and then it's like comedic, so that, and that's kind of cool. I guess the only problem would be is if it's a comedy and the outtakes are funnier than what's in the movie.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, and that's definitely not a high bar to jump over in mm-hmm. this case. You know, I run hot and cold on that. Yeah, I feel like I want to see like Jackie Chan like stunts going wrong, things like that that are kind of interesting, and yeah. entertaining. Chris Tucker is already not. I don't really enjoy him. So seeing
did you outtakes, like Rush Hour though?
I felt like it was Jackie Chan light, which is disappointing.
Oh,
it's like
I really liked Rush Hour.
It's like, you know, Jackie Chan has done mm-hmm. and can do so much better in terms of the fight sequences.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like Brett Ratner. I'd rather like, hey, just turn this over to Jackie Chan and his crew. Let them choreograph these
Alvin
sequences.
Alvin agrees with you that the outtakes were funnier in the movie. Are outtakes online? Well, sometimes. I've seen that sometimes where they put it online, but you're not guaranteed it. Actually, the thing I've seen with my many Bollywood movies, they'll have a post-credits song, which I want them to... the problem is they'll put subtitles during the movie, but then they'll stop like during that because the credits are rolling too. And I'm like, yeah. but I want to know the lyrics on this too. But those are kind of cool because they'll have that. I like when there's post-credit visuals, like either they have not necessarily a new scene, but like... if it's an animated movie, they have new animations. They're just kind of funny or interesting, or they'll have something move from one side to the other. I think it's cool.
Yeah, it's That's rough.
To jump in quick, for please. Those in the chat,
you don't even have to jump in quick. You can jump in as slow as you want, Neil.
Let me jump in slowly.
Okay.
Outtakes for current films will premiere. Usually they'll come up online with a digital release to
That's
sort
true.
Of spur people to buy that.
Mm.
Apparently digital releases is where all the money is for after the theatrical run right now. Not so much in DVD and Blu-ray sales, because with digital you can get it like anywhere. So that's what they usually just put out a quick teaser of the blooper reel online and let people share it around to get people wanting to buy the movie.
Mm.
So you can not any outtakes online for Baywatch right now, but maybe afterwards.
Actually, now that you brought that up, that's a good question for all of you. Comment down below, and if you want to in the chat as well, do you still like to own your DVD or digital? I want my copy.
I'm digital all the way.
I have a wall of DVDs, and it's part of like the art, the experience of it. Because also that's like how you can share it. It's like your own library.
Yeah, but then there's also like when you have so much, your choices are either pruning your collection.
Get a bigger display.
I've tried both. Well, no, I've never tried really pruning it. I've tried getting bigger displays.
How many
and then eventually,
did you have?
I've got... tons.
Hundreds?
Yeah, but actually when I had from DVD, tons for the fact where then I ended up like dropping off the cases and just getting them in those big
sleeves.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had to do that. And then eventually once I moved the jump to Blu-ray, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to just go and get as many as I can digitally. So I've been doing more of that. I've got a few Blu-ray. Well, I probably got maybe 50 Blu-rays. But I've been really making it a big concerted effort to just do digitally. It's really nice. You can
feels
just take
like
it anywhere.
The chat room's mixed.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I like digital. I mean, I like physical copies of my media. However, I find myself using them less and less now that I can find movies on like Hulu and Netflix and HBO Go and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I guess I'm in one foot in one pool and one foot in the other at this point.
Oh, which one's more comfortable? Which one's, you know, warmer?
Well, I have. I mean, if there was some sort of like a media apocalypse, I have a good. I think it's like 250 movies between DVD and Blu-ray in my collection, and then like seasons of TV shows and stuff.
I think I have at least 600 plus.
Wow. Not to brag or
no,
anything.
Like there's, we have an inventory, like list of all of them too, listed by name and genre, and they're organized by television show, movies, and then anime. And I like how some people are bringing up in the chat, which is a really good point too, of like, I think anything though that's bought is something you really like. So maybe not, or it's not available. Like, for example, we've bought like Game of Thrones because that's not, we don't have HBO, so it's a copy of it, you know? Like, that's the only way to really watch it. I mean, no, it's not really the only way.
I mean,
but,
unless you bought, yeah, bought it digitally. You know. I mean, you can still watch it. You just wouldn't have a physical.
So, yeah. Actually, I should look at those numbers and actually, like, I'll tweet that. I'll be like, no, let me go home and double check my numbers because there's, it's a pretty big collection.
I feel like a photo it's should go along
with
that.
Above average.
Nice little callback to Wonder Woman. So two other movies that I saw real quick too,
yes,
as well, since I saw those. I saw a film being distributed by an arm of Sony, but it's called Rogue Warrior Robot Fighter.
Yes,
written and directed by Neil Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place in the future where mankind is struggling, fighting against AI, who is wiping out the dwindling remains of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also saw, and this is probably one of the most movies I really enjoyed over the weekend, was it's a new documentary coming out in a few weeks in theaters, and then it's going to be getting more and more releases throughout. In New York and L.A., it's coming out next week, I believe. And then it's going to go wide in the months to come. But it's called Score, a music film documentary put together by Matt Schrader, and who started off as doing investigative news pieces and then moved over to documentaries. And this is his first one, and it's all about diving deep into the composers.
That's
people
very
that bring
cool.
That bring these scores to the screen. And it's really cool. A wide variety of people that they talk to. Hans Zimmer,
mm-hmm,
Danny Elfman, and many more in there. But
cool.
It's a really enjoyable experience. And as with every documentary, there are just, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of hours that are just left that they can't get into the final cut of the film. But he does say that when the digital release comes out, or the DVD, Blu-ray, there'll be a lot of bonus content on there too. So,
yeah, even though you get a lot of bonus content on DVDs and Blu-rays, I don't think I've ever really purchased them for that as
for,
much.
Or
sometimes.
For the specific extras?
Yeah, no, not necessarily. I mean, it's more like movies I really like. Or they're hard to get. Maybe that's the other reason. Some of them, like, you can't really find it online very well. And so it's, like, easier to have a physical copy of it. And then, yeah, I loan them to friends and stuff because I'm like, oh, you haven't seen this and it's not online. So here's that. I was going to say, I told you before the show, but I did see The Legend of Tarzan, and it was actually pretty cool.
You know, that was, I remember, I think I had to see that because I lost the box office
bet. I think you
weren't
that happy about it.
You know, it was fine. I remember thinking it was fine. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, but it was, mm-hmm, for me, it was fine.
Someone was joking about how I organize my tapes. No, they are organized by type in the sense of television, anime, and movies, but then they're alphabetical within that. Absolutely alphabetical. When I've been to people's houses and their DVDs aren't alphabetical, I'm like, ah!
Do you say, I'm going to just stay here for a little bit and organize your collection.
I worked at a video store, so I think I'm just like, I've done that at the library when something's in the wrong spot. Like, I mean, they're not alphabetical, but if it's like two movies that are the same and they're separated by one, I'm like, I have to fix it. I just can't. Yeah, I thought it was fun. I was happy I saw it because I didn't like how in the trailer I'm like, well, that's so weird that he's wearing clothes that way and like blah blah blah. And they're like, oh no, he's already left the jungle and then he goes back and like more. I felt it was a fun new take on it because it wasn't just like, here's the story of Tarzan we all know. But like, I mean, some of it's a little like silly and hokey, like dumb that they don't figure stuff out right away. But it's fun action, like, you know, adventure kind of story.
Yeah, like, I agree. It was an interesting point because so much of it deals usually with the origin. And then we see him in the jungle first, then get brought back to civilization and then go back. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting just to jump right in and have him already be... Yeah. Back in society and realizing, nope, I need to go back to where I fit in better.
Yeah, need to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coming in for our international numbers, so certainly Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales. It's crossed the $500 million mark worldwide in its second week there. And so while the movie saw some wind taken out of its sails with the overseas debut of Wonder Woman, there was plenty of cannon fodder left in the Johnny Depp star, which it added another 73.8 million in 54 markets at the international box office, and the international total is now 386.6 million and the global total 501.2 million. It is now the number six release of the year worldwide. Basically, that performance helped push the Disney Studios across the $2 billion mark internationally. It's the eighth consecutive year the company has hit that milestone, and it follows on the studio's $1 billion domestic and $3 billion global milestones last week. The current year-to-date totals are $1.15 billion domestic and $2 billion internationally, and $3.21 billion globally. I guess they're doing okay, you know, for that small, little tiny company that people didn't think could do it. But they did it, you guys. They did it. So basically, Beauty and the Beast, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and Rogue One, a Star Wars story have been the key contributing factors this year. And so look at that. So we'll be curious to see what what Wonder Woman's week's going to be like.
Yes, very next week. Very curious of how it will go.
Bigger, smaller for you and Neil. What do you think? More or less than 50%?
Oh, increase?
Decrease.
Less than.
Neil?
I'm thinking like high 40s, but lower than 50.
Okay. Well, yeah, because the biggest release we've got, speaking of that, we've got The Mummy coming out this current week here. Tom Cruise in 4,000 screens from Universal. This is the whole kickoff of Universal's Dark Universe, where we're going to see their kind of shared universe they're going to be doing with all the Universal monster film properties. So this will be the initial kickoff into this.
I will say, seeing more trailers for it, I've gotten more interested. Like the first trailer, I was like, meh, and then they gave a little more backstory, and I was like, oh. Okay, maybe.
Well, I feel like everybody just really jumped onto Tom Cruise's scream in that first one, and that's all they could focus on.
I think they recut it, because I went to there, I'm like, they cut that scream. That was so dumb. Because it was. I don't know if any of you guys see it. It was very entertaining. Tom Cruise's scream when he's like, the plane's crashing and just went on too long that it was comedic.
I am jazzed about seeing that. I know people, you know, have their opinions of Tom Cruise, but I always feel like he's going to deliver you... an enjoyable experience at the box office. It might not be the greatest film you've ever seen, but I feel like watching him within a movie, he always delivers a really solid performance.
It'll be a good adventure kind of movie.
Yeah. And the first, the original with, not the original, but the first Brendan reimagining, Fraser? Yeah, with Brendan Fraser. The films irritated me just for the potential it had. I just felt like for that one, it rode that line of camp and action, and I felt like it dipped too much into the camp. Too often for my taste.
Loved it.
Oh, Frank, it's too a classic.
Loved it.
No,
yes.
No, too absolutely much camp. Too much camp for my taste. Yes.
Oh, man. In Brendan Fraser news, I think I heard he got cast in an FX anthology series.
It does,
There's actually a large movement online for Brendan Fraser to get back into acting. So these people are all very excited, including myself.
That's right.
I was going to say, maybe you had the wrong perspective going in. I had knew nothing about it, and I remember enjoying it so much when the Brendan Fraser, The Mummy came out, and I actually thought parts of it were kind of scary. It was just perfect movie. I was going to say, maybe you were too old.
I mean, I like John Hannah, but I felt like they went to the camp well with John Hannah a little too much for my taste. We don't need to have, no. Okay, but even the third one sets up a really intriguing thing.
I'm not saying the series, but I'm just saying the first one was so cool. for when it came out for me.
A little too campy.
I was going to say maybe you're a little too old.
I put it up there as a classic with the first Pirates that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, it was
a classic.
It's a classic.
It's so classic. Good. Classic.
Come on, guys.
Come on.
It's a okay fun movie.
I think you had the wrong expectations. Don't have the wrong expectations going in, Frank.
Why can't I watch just a really good like look at Indiana Jones?
Don't have anything.
Look at Indiana Jones. There are humorous moments in there, but it never tips over into too campy. And I feel like this.
It's not Indiana Jones. Why you got to compare it? It's a different kind of thing.
But that's what I wanted out of that. I wanted something that was a fun action story that has comedic moments but doesn't tip over into camp too much, and I thought The Mummy was just right there and it just kept on dipping too far into campiness for me.
Meh.
Which I just like, it just didn't give me what I wanted. I think we all can agree that I'm right on this, so we'll move on.
No. I like that Legend in the chat says, gotta agree with you, Alvin, that the they're not interested in the new mummy. Rather watch the old-fashioned, slow-walking mummy. Interesting.
And I also do, like, whoever said this, because Alvin's responding to this. Yeah, the live stream is still going, so...
No, someone had tech issues.
Okay, just checking. Just like,
no.
Hey, is this show still going on?
No. Didn't read yep. Further up in the chat. Yes. It's
still happening. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some films up for your contention for next week's box office bet.
Yes, couple.
We've got It Comes at Night, which is a horror film. Joel Edgerton is in that. We've got Megan Levy. It's a drama with Kate Mara and Bradley Whitford in there. And then, of course, we've got the big releases, The Mummy, Tom Cruise. Coming out in 4,000 screens. So those will be the three films that we're looking at here for next week. So feel free to start chiming in with your thoughts and opinions on which one we should do there in the chat. In the meantime, though, we'll do a little box office rewind on one of the people that are going to be starring in this release this week. And so I decided to go. We've got Tom Cruise, but we already did that back when Jack Reacher first came out, the sequel to that. So we could have done a relook, and basically that would have just meant that the Jack Reacher sequel is actually the highest Tom Cruise opening.
Speaking of Tom Cruise, yes, Lisa, we did discuss that in one of the episodes. She says, I have Tom Cruise fatigue. Similar idea of like maybe really? In too many movies. It's one of those like doing another one. We kind of talked about that. Like, is he, not that he's too old or anything like that, but like he's still doing the lead action star of like,
Absolutely, yeah. Because, he commits 110% into that. So I'm willing to take that. That doesn't necessarily mean that the movies that he in is great, but certainly his performance in there, he's not phoning it in. You don't see Tom Cruise walking through a movie.
You could make that same argument for Nicolas Cage, though. And I don't think anyone's going to rush out to see Nicolas Cage movies.
You know what, though? National Treasure, I really enjoyed.
I do. A Book of Secrets irritates me because there's no
That's
reason
the second
for that.
One?
Yeah.
Yeah, the second was all right. But also, the thing with National Treasure, his chemistry with the other guy, which I'm totally blanking on like that guy's name, but like them together was funny too.
Yeah.
Like, so it was humor, so it had a very Indiana Jones, the librarian's vibe, and all those are just like, yay.
But again, it didn't go too far into campiness. There was comedic
Different
moments.
Different kind of movie. Somebody, I forget who it was in the chat. I think it was Legion, was like, don't compare it to Indiana Jones, and it's supposed to not be taken seriously, so meh.
Whoa, it's not supposed to be taken seriously?
No.
This is based on a horror film property
who
right
cares?
Here. What do you mean it's not supposed to be taken
Whatever.
Seriously? Whatever. Uh-huh. Okay, I like how I cannot compare any sort of action historic that deals with historical elements. Don't compare it to The Mummy. Like, The Mummy is like individualized above all else. Do not compare that classic, as you and Neil both said, cannot be compared to any other film.
It's one of those that'd be like the double feature kind of vibe night. Like all of those, like National Treasure, Mummy, Indiana Jones, like they're all that like action adventure vibe.
Which
different styles for sure. But it's one of the, and Librarian, that whole TNT series was fantastic. See, that one had edge of campiness, but it was so fun and absolutely adored it. So it's like, they'd be all like, if you like this, you might like these.
I would agree that, like Neil was saying, that he compared it to the first Pirates film. But I also feel like that irritates me too in the same sense that it goes into too much camp at points to make me feel like, yeah, I love this movie.
Yep.
So, yes. Yep. All right. So basically, again, I think after our spirited debate, we all come to the realization that, again, I am right. So we'll move on there with our Kate Mara look back there for her top five films.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in number five, We Are Marshall, back in 2006, $6.1 million. Number four, Transcendence from Warner Brothers in 2014, $10.8 million. Shooter from Paramount Pictures back in 2007, $14.5 million. Fantastic Four film from 2015, the Josh Trank film, $25.68 million. That has been sitting on my DVR for, and I keep deleting it and re-recording it to make space. And I still, as much as I love superheroes, I've not made the effort to go watch that movie. Mm-hmm. And then number one, The Martian from 2015, $54.3 million from Fox Studios. So now we'll do a quick top five pick, what we think our next week's top five is going to look like. Of course, the biggest one we've got is The Mummy, adding another $4 million. Excuse me. And I sneezed right there for you guys. Enjoy that on there in the live stream. And if you enjoyed that sneeze, even after watching after the show, is, you know, comment down below about that sneeze. Certainly the biggest one that's going to have the effect on the top five for this coming week is The Mummy.
Yeah.
I feel like the other two films just aren't going to be in enough theaters to make a big impact in that top five. So, Neil Plumley, your top five. What does it look like compared to this week?
I really want Wonder Woman to stay at number one, but I think The Mummy might sneak it out. I think The Mummy might take, like, I don't know, probably 85 million. I think Wonder Woman might drop to about, you know, 60 or 67. I think that, I don't know, that sounds okay to me. So probably Mummy, Wonder Woman... you know what? I'm going to put It Comes at Night there at number three. I've been seeing some good buzz about that. And then Underpants and Pirates.
Very similar to Ken Jack in the chat, except for they put Megan Levy as five. And then we got, I think it's Rashad says, Wonder Woman, The Mummy, Captain Underpants. Oh, wait, it's the top five, not just the top three. I want Wonder Woman to stay number one.
Yeah.
I'm like, fine, I will be what I hope.
All right.
We'll go with Wonder Woman, The Mummy. I do think It Comes at Night will do well, too. Horror movies we've all known do really well. It Comes at Night, Captain Underpants, and then Pirates. I don't know about the... Megan Levy one.
Huh, all right.
Like, I don't know.
I think I will go with Mummy, Wonder Woman. I guess I'll go to It Comes at Night because I feel like Captain Underpants is probably going to go by half at least. So that's dropping it down to at least like another 11, 11.5 million. Mm-hmm. So, so they'll do It Comes at Night, Captain Underpants, and Pirates. So there you go. Pretty similar in all our talkings.
But, yeah.
I mean, again, I think the big thing to take away is that I'm right.
So, what's our vote, guys, in the chat?
All right. Yes, in the chat. What do you guys think? What is our totals here? And, of course, as we're getting ready to do that, folks, just for the box office bet, we're all going to vote on what we think the opening box office will be of the film that you choose in the chat. Whoever's closest to it will get to have the bragging rights of being the prognosticator amongst prognosticators. And the loser will have to go see the film, tell us all about it. If it's Carrie Lane that loses, she has got a lot of films on deck.
I have a long list.
So we'll probably hear about this film.
I mean, at this rate, though, it'll probably be like when they get on a DVD at the library.
September, October, we'll probably hear about a lot of these films that Carrie Lane has been on the losing end of.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you mentioned that, Frank, I forgot that to brag that I am the prognosticator of prognosticators.
That's right.
This week.
Please brag.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to, it's a tie right now, four for Mummy, four for Megan Levy, and if one for It Comes at Night. I am, I'm picking four for The Mummy. So I'm going to go. I'm just taking executive decision.
Well, you also said it's number one, so
there
you're
going to
have a different number.
So we're just going to do The Mummy since we're getting tight for time. We're going to wrap up here. And I'm jazzed about this film to go check it out. So I know Neil has already kind of given a hint about where his number is going to be. So
it's not quite fair. Now you guys can position yourselves around it.
Well,
I'm not moving, though.
No, all right. I mean, somebody, you know, sipped their hand. You should have done that. You got to play the game, Neil. Less the game
you know
play
what?
You.
Okay. Well.
Ooh, I mean, I could be the safe bet where it's.
I did high, and then I'm like, well, maybe no.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Ken Jack says 50.
Oh, interesting. I'm gonna go.
Adelia says 41.
All right, I've got mine. All right. Neil, are you changing from your previous statement earlier?
No, I'm staying around 83.
Okay.
Mm, all right.
Stardrew says 90.
Ooh, interesting. All right. Carrie Lane, what do you got?
You know what? I actually wrote that first, and then yes. I'm like, no.
All right. I went with 75, Carrie Lane.
I did 65.
There you go.
But I like that I thought it, and then I'm like, let's just go a little bit lower, because if I think, but you think it's number one,
yeah.
And then if I think it's number two.
All right.
Yeah. So that's where that kind of went.
So I feel like I get comfortably in the sandwich position, but I'm going to see this film anyway. So I'm jazzed about this. So, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't think it was going to be possible. We finished another episode of Bugs Breakdown.
Wait, is this our? We were talking about how long we've been around last week. Remember?
Yes, surprisingly,
we forgot cake.
Yeah, damn we forgot it. Cake. But folks, we've been doing this for a year. Look at this. I mean, we had Richest Guy, Quince Killian joined us there back at the beginning as well.
Yes. Yay, there we go.
Yes. So.
Happy anniversary to Box Office Breakdown Reboot.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. So, I mean, of course, much love to Richest Guy, Quince Killian as well, yes. for joining us there on this reimagining of Popcorn Talk that they, yeah. or Box Office Breakdown and Popcorn Talk that yes. they had us take over. Mm-hmm. And everybody, again, thanks for sticking around with yes. us. We know transitions are tough. We know the previous team here was very beloved.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you very much for giving us a shot. And a year has gone by like that.
And thank you for watching and joining us in the chat. It definitely rounds out the show, and it makes it so entertaining to hear your predictions and your thoughts on movies as well. And all of you who watch it later and comment on the videos as well, because there's been some really good ones last couple weeks too.
That's true. And really even engaged. Though Richie and Quinn aren't here, we did gain Neil, which
there you go. Yeah, there we go.
Look at that. An essential. Uh-oh. Yeah. I feel like we can't get rid of him as easy as we thought, Carrie.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, it's all right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it with that really just basking in our laurels there. It's like, oh, we did it.
Yeah. You know, a whole year.
Yeah, a whole year, guys. Look at us. And you're going to be stuck with us again for another year. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll see.
Cut to, was that Stephen's our last show? Uh-oh, this is awkward.
No.
Folks, again, thanks for joining us, everybody, for another episode of Box Office Breakdown. Of course, the fun doesn't stop here, because you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, double thumb it on the YouTube page. And as Carrie mentioned, feel free to comment down below if you're watching this after the show's aired yes. live. And if you want to talk to us about anything movie related, or just, about like Carrie's cool scarf that she's wearing, her DVD collection, Neil's thoughts about life and tater tots. There's very many ways you can reach us on social media. Neil, where can they find you, sir?
You guys can find me on everywhere on the internet at THENEILPLUMLEY. That's where you can find me. My name is Neil. Thanks for joining us.
How about you, Carrie?
Yes, you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And again, yes, thanks to Paper Ronnie. They have really cool stuff on their Instagram. You can check that out. And so they're really cool.
Cool.
They're on Twitter. I think they're on Twitter too, but Instagram's probably the easiest way to look at them.
I'll never know what that coolness against my neck will feel like. But
you just gotta ask, man.
No, that's right. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Folks, again, thanks for sticking around with us for a year. Thanks for joining us this evening. We'll see you back here next Sunday night for another episode of Box Office Breakdown right here on Popcorn Talk.
See ya.
Go see a movie, everybody. Or see 5. Why not?
Yeah.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.